Dr. A, before we go any further, can you explain to me what COSIWIC is and what it does?
Yes, COSIWIC is an international advisory body that's been around for a while but was formally established under the Canadian Species at Risk Act when it first came into force about over 10 years ago. And this body meets on a regular basis. It's got 50 or so experts, scientific experts, who assess the status of species in Canada. And this informs legal listing and recovery processes that follow.
Tell me about your presentation last week.
Well, last week, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Terrestrial Mammal Subcommittee. There are two of us. And we prepare assessments for terrestrial mammals in Canada. And one of the animal that I was responsible for this past week was Peary caribou, which is a type of caribou that lives only in the high Arctic islands of Canada, and it is endemic to Canada, meaning that it doesn't occur anywhere else.
So what happened, what's the status of Peary caribou?
At this meeting, which was the third time this animal has been assessed by COSIWIC, we have a mandate to reassess each species every 10 years. We assess it as threatened, and that was downgraded, if you will, from endangered 10 years ago in 2004.
There was a significant, I guess, event in or a series of events in the 1990s that led to the decline of the Peary caribou. Can you explain what happened? Do we know why the population dropped so much?
Yes, in the some of the range was already subjected to slow declines that were from a variety of factors. And some of which are not that well understood. But in the mid-1990s, there was a series of significant ice storms that hit several parts of the range and caused some significant population declines. And so, you know, whereas this animal had been at about an estimated population of about 30,000 in the high Arctic islands, it was depressed down to about 5,400 animals in the mid-1990s. Presently, it's climbed back to about 14,000, just shy of 14,000 animals. So that is a recovery, but it's not all the way to what it was. And some parts of the range have not experienced this recovery. But still, it is a relatively better situation than it was the last time this committee assessed Peary caribou in 2004.
Do we understand why there is a recovery? What are some of the factors that have led to it?
Well, first of all, the ice storms, while we're concerned about them under a changing climate, they have not occurred to the same force and at the same time covering such a large part of the range since the 1990s. So just not having that particular issue has been helpful, of course. And there has been a number of communities in the range have not been hunting, and they've been enforcing their own pretty much voluntary cessation of harvest or very clear quotas in certain parts of the area, so that will help as well. And in some places, it is possible that climate change is actually helping a little bit with this species, because in the far north, there are areas that are greener for a longer period of time that might help it nutritionally. But the extent to which that is actually helping and how that will last over the long term, or how that will weigh against some of the concerns we have about a changing climate is unknown at this factor time. But that's some of the factors that have been probably in play since over the last 10 years.
Can you explain how the ice storms affect the caribou?
Well, what happens is that you'll have these increasing number of rain on snow events, which happen in kind of an unpredictable winter, and they'll encase the food that they eat, which is on the ground, they'll encase it in ice, which makes it very difficult for them to get at the food. And that's one way in which you know, they will not be able to have access to their food resources at a time where they really need it. And so that will be one effect of ice storms.
Okay. So do we, I mean, we know that the caribou is staple food for Canada's northern communities, especially in Nunavut. Do we know whether there are measures, what are some of the measures that we should be looking at to keep this recovery going?
So just to distinguish between peri caribou, which are these in the high Arctic islands, versus barren ground caribou, which are more, you know, they are some other types of caribou that have been experiencing declines of a different nature, and that's not the animal that we assess this time. But in terms of the high Arctic island caribou, this has been a concern of communities, and right now there is a recovery planning process that is underway based on the fact that it has been listed as endangered, and it's during that process that strategies are being developed for what to do about to help assist the recovery further.
Now, when we talk about the high Arctic islands, what are some of the areas that it lives? Is it the Baffin Island, Ellesmere Island?
Actually, not Baffin Island, interestingly, but the other ones, yes. So, for example, Banks Island in Northwest Territories, and Somerset Prince of Wales Islands, which are in the Nunavut portion, but further west. And then when you get north, the Queen Elizabeth Islands, the eastern and western Queen Elizabeth Islands, which is actually composed of many, many different islands. Some of the more well-known ones are Bathurst Island and Melville Island. But then on the eastern side in Nunavut, you've got the very large Ellesmere Island and Axel Heiberg Island as well. That's part of the eastern Queen Elizabeth Island. So it's actually an enormous number of islands, and caribou, for their life history, the peri caribou actually move between these islands during the course of a year, and so that's also very important to consider.
So they migrate over the ice?
Yes, they do migrate over the ice.
And so what do they eat? Because, the distances there between some of these islands are enormous.
Yeah, some of them, in the more enormous distances, they probably don't cross as much, although it is amazing when you see a map that we've constructed through interviews with Aboriginal peoples in these areas that have a long-term view and know the movements very, very well. They do cross many, many of the islands pretty regularly and have since time immemorial. And then some parts there are no longer crossing as much as they used to, and part of that is a concern relative to changing ice conditions, which have been a consequence of climate change. But they eat quite a lot of quite a variety of foods, from herbaceous plants to lichens to even moss and such. And of course, the burst of activity that occurs in the spring and early summer, which is very, very short growing season in these high Arctic areas, is very, very important for these caribou.
Wow, this is fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thank you.